Amen. If you have your Bible, would you turn with me to Titus, the second chapter, to Titus chapter 2. Amen. Many times we've taught, we preach, we talk about this scripture, but amen, tonight I want to go right to it. Titus, the second chapter. Titus, the second chapter, the scripture begins to read here today. It says, for the grace of God that bringeth, what? Salvation, hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly, where? Amen. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And it teaches us to deny ungodliness, worldly lusts, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly right now. Amen. Are you thankful that grace has a beautiful work? Grace not only brings salvation, but grace is our teacher. And it teaches us how to deny ungodliness, worldly lusts, and how to live soberly, righteously, and godly while we have this life here in this world. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. Tonight, I just want to go to what I felt in prayer this morning. The Lord began to deal with me, and I knew, amen, that the Lord was, amen, working on me as well. But tonight, amen, I want to talk to you that grace is more than just something that rescues us. See, a lot of times we think about the saving grace of God, that strong arm of grace, and we believe that. We believe God does snatch us out of danger and pulls us out of the wrong way that we're traveling, turns us around. But grace also teaches you how to stay put with the things of God. You see, there's power in the Holy Ghost. God's not going to give you his gift and let it all leak out of you. When you let the gift live inside of you, grace is going to teach you how to stop running into danger. This grace will train you, not just forgive you. And the issue is not whether God could save. The issue is whether we will live in the power and keep letting God be God in our lives. Amen. I don't want to just talk about God. I just don't want to, but I want God to live in me. Amen. There's a title slide tonight. I don't know if you got it, brother. Amen. But tonight I want to just talk about the power of God or just a pass. What do I really want in my life? Do I want the power of God or do I want another pass? A free pass. A lot of times, there are people that just want that free pass in their life. They want God to get them out of jail, to get them out of a situation. They want the grace of God to snatch them. But you know what? More than that, I want the power of God in operation. Amen. How many wants that in your life? The core issue today is the power not just to be saved and plucked out of harm and out of hell and out of sin, but the power to deny sin from entering back in. And the power to resist. I want enough resistance in my soul. And the power to refuse. I want to just tell you the real battle is the urge sometimes whenever you feel something pulling you to cross boundaries, to trespass where God has already drawn the line. Why am I pulled to that? Why am I drawn to the wrong things? Tonight, I'm thankful for the power of the Lord Jesus Christ that God gives us power to say no. Amen. Even when you're disturbed on every front of your life, the enemy paints big billboards not just to let you see, amen, the billboard. Isn't it crazy that the power of suggestion has an impact on people? You don't even realize it driving down the highway, the freeway, and you see a picture of a barbecue sandwich. And there's a little Bucky's billboard. And it tells you the best in Texas. And I mean, it tells you it's 100 miles. Well, you will fast for the next 100 miles just to get there. Because something got a hold of your appetite. Something got a hold of you and your brain. I just need that. I need to stop there. And when they get you in the store, I guarantee you many times you're not just going to come out with just a sandwich. You're going to come out with a big old drink. You're going to come out with different things there. Amen. If they could get you in, they got you. They got your pocketbook. And the devil knows if he could get you, amen, if he could get in your life and he could get your nose and your attention, amen, pointing his way, amen, he could lure you into his realm. But I'm thankful today that I do not have to be a loser. I do not have to be a subject, and I don't have to be a repeater of the same offense. There's power in the Holy Ghost. Are you thankful? Amen. I'm thankful for the saving power of God. Now, I want to illustrate this in just a manner, but I'm going to wait till, amen, we put this illustration up here tonight. There's a picture. A child lives next to a busy, busy road, this highway. His little ball rolls into the road. And the child chases it, oblivious to the danger. He's focusing only on the ball. That truck is coming, cars are coming, and at the last second, whenever they can't stop, in this picture, it looks like they're way paced back, and it looks like they're stopped. But I want you to realize that that ball's moving too. And that boy's moving too. He's not stopped. The ball's not stopped. And the traffic's not stopped. And just at the last moment, there is an unseen force, an unseen hand that snatches the child just away and places him safely on the two stripes that you see in the picture. And when the traffic goes by, he's right in the middle. And the child finally, when the traffic stops, the child gets his little blue ball and he is home unharmed. That's the saving power of God. Are you thankful that God rescues you right on time? How many's ever had a right on time call from the Lord? Amen. How he rescued you and spared you from consequences that you never saw coming. Amen. That's the God I serve. That's the grace of God. Now, we're going to do something tonight. We're going to just take this lesson and this teaching tonight just a different manner. I want to ask the question tonight. You've seen this little boy. I mean, your heart went out. What would you do if you were a bystander? Man, I would go crazy to get to that child. Amen. What would you do if you were driving that car or that 18-wheeler? And you knew you couldn't stop on a dime. And I mean, there's that little boy. You was afraid. You don't know whether to skid to the right or the left. You had nowhere to go. And that child's in front of you. How many has ever had a circumstance similar like that? Isn't it scary? In your mind, you play all the scenarios. And out of nowhere comes the hand of the Almighty God and snatches that child to safety. What a mighty God we have. I'm thankful that God snatched me out of harm's way. I'm thankful that God set my foot on the rock. The psalmist said God brought him out of what kind of pit? Somebody knows? Are you with me? Are you asleep? He brought me out of a horrible pit. A horrible situation. This is a horrible situation. But the Lord brought me out of a horrible pit and set my feet on the rock. He established my goings, the scripture says. I want God to establish something in my life. After all what he's done for me. Amen. I want the Lord, after he gave me a free pass. Amen. Another chance on life. I want to live for God. How about you? Now, we're going to make the scenario a little different right now. let's just say, what happens if this little boy does it again? Repeated error. No lesson is learned. Maybe he didn't feel the gravity of the danger. Maybe he didn't understand how close he came to death. And maybe he never realized God helped him. Somebody needs to talk to that child, right? He needs to know how close eternity is. And let me just say, grace is that which saves us, but grace must teach us. If that child goes back, something needs to happen in that poor little mind. He didn't know the gravity of the danger. Somebody somewhere needs to get to that child. What would you do, Sister Jennifer, if that little child was your child? What would the first thing that you would do to teach that child and let him realize what's going on? All right, Sister Brown, what would you do if that was Kenny? Put a leash on him. Well, first of all, this kid didn't know he had boundaries. Yeah, it would be some boundary instructions. All right, Sister Anna, you a good mama too? What would you do if, let's reverse back just a little few years, and it's Ella Mae, your baby. What would be the first thing after this child? Mama conversation. She bear conversation, right? She bears just don't growl. Woo! She would have a conversation. First of all, this child needs some help, don't they? What would some of you mamas to be one day? Or maybe somebody else in the place. Sister Purdy, your grandma, what does this child need? My daddy used to call it a good learning, a good education. And I'm not talking about pulling my belt off, but I'm telling him that child needs to know some boundaries. If they've done it the second time and they're rescued the second time and they're not really aware of the gravity of danger, they didn't realize how close to death they came the first and second time. That child needs something there. Those parents need to build a fence, don't they? They need to take some money out of their back pocket and build a fence if their baby has done that two times. They need a boundary system, maybe a fence. Or if it's kind of like my grandbabies, then maybe you need a wall. And at the top of that wall, they probably need the barbed wire type deal. You know what I'm talking about? Anything to keep them in. But you know, sometimes fences and walls don't work for people. Because it just don't. The next thing, you know, needs to be helped in that child. They need to realize that boundary and the danger. Some people never teach about the danger. They never teach about the dangerous and the closeness of eternity in this situation. Somebody needs to talk to that child. Somebody needs to explain and express that it's more than a no-no. It's more than no, don't go. You don't need to do that. Let me just say this. Maybe also that child needs somebody to monitor them. Somebody to watch. Somebody to say, I'm putting a leash on you. Somebody to hold that leash. And somebody to give it a good yank sometimes. We need a shepherd to our soul, don't we? Amen. And grace can be that if you let grace work in your life. We need something that will get a hold of us. Sometimes we need a wall. Sometimes we just need somebody or something in our life that tells us no. We need a monitoring effect in our life. You see, grace teaches us. Grace not only begins to snatch us, But grace will also teach you and let you feel the gravity and let you realize or tell you about it. I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord tonight that God just don't let us, amen, go easy. But we got a great God that, amen, his love is stubborn. His love is right. His love is strong. Amen. I'm thankful for the power of the Holy Ghost tonight, aren't you? Now, same little scenario here. This child two times has ran out, two times has courted danger or come close to danger. Two times this child has gone through this. Now, let's say that child seeing the thrill of everybody panicking and he liked the attention. So now it becomes a game. The danger becomes thrilling and the child starts playing that old-fashioned game, what we call chicken. You run on the road or run across the road just to see if you can make it. And or stand in the road. Now, what would you do now, Sister Jennifer? All right. Now, see, Sister Brown, what would you do to that? Oh, good. Sister Murray, what would you do? Mm-hmm. Yeah. There would be some consequences in it. Grace begins to teach you some confidence or some consequences, amen, to lower your confidence and play in that game. Amen. You know, whenever it's defined, it's no longer ignorance. This child's not naive. That person's, I mean, rescuing again is no longer enough. That child don't need to be rescued again. That child needs some means of boundary. Now, if the child lacks capacity to judge danger, yes, a fence is needed. A boundary is needed. A supervision is needed. Consequences have to be enforced. Like somebody said, liberties have to be removed. Liberties have to be removed. Maybe they need to move away. There's some things that has to happen. That child has to be removed from the environment. Privileges had to be taken away. That little blue ball needs to be hidden. You don't play with the ball unless you're monitored. That road is too accessible for them, right? I mean, there's things that, you know, I want to tell you, this is correction, not cruelty. Are you thankful for the goodness of the Lord? Are you thankful that his correction is not cruelty? Anybody's ever been corrected by God? Amen. Has God ever stepped on your toe? Has God ever got a hold of you and pulled you back and said, no? Man. But there's sometimes we just want to see if we can make it across. That we could delve out and do it again just to see how close we could get to danger. You know, where my mom used to live in Louisiana, there was a big old ditch. They used to call it a sewer ditch because in Louisiana, back years ago, the sewer ran through the ditches. Yes. And it has been a ditch there ever since I've ever known it. My grandparents, when we went to my grandparents' house, that big old ditch was there. And from this high to about this high, it's always been an intriguing game amongst my kin, especially these boys, to see if they could jump the ditch. We would run and we would jump the ditch, and I don't know how many times there would be one that would fall in the ditch and the whole group would laugh and say, ha, 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 you did it. Well, by the time we would get together, guess what? We didn't learn the lesson. We'd try it again. And Isaac heard about that ditch. He heard about the games that we would play as a kid. And Isaac, we were at visiting my mother before she moved here. And Isaac had to try that old challenge, that old luring ditch. Now, Kenan, he took a running start. And he ran. And when he jumped, he went high. But guess what? His front leg just hit the side and slid right down. The same old trap, the same old thing, the same old penalty that happened to so many of us. I don't know how many times those brand new pair of shoes that our mothers would buy for us became nasty with icky, gross stuff all over them. And I can remember my mama fussing at me, said, "You're going to wash them." And we would get the water hose and wash them. And still the next day I looked down when I went to school or the next week, even one of those shoes still had that smell. I want to tell you, there is a consequence. When we begin to court or sport danger and play in spite of knowing better, God wants us to have the sense enough to realize we can't play that game. Correction is cruelty sometimes. Correction is not cruelty. Correction is good for us. You know, love restrains what mercy alone could not change. Sometimes the mercy of God came through and it didn't change a bit in us. Even though Sister Becky, that 18 went right by us. We felt the wind of it. And the wind of it shifted us. And if danger is treated like a game, or a game that we play, then pain must teach us what mercy could not. Sometimes we need to feel the pain of the situation. I want to just say that inward error requires an inward discipline. You know, it's like the little boy who kept on standing up in church and cutting up. And his mama said, "If you keep doing it, I'm taking you out." You know, years ago, they always would plant some bushes on the outside of the church. And it was what we call the switch bush. And somehow or another, amen, when you acted up, your mama went outside and she picked the switch. How many has ever got a good switching? Brother Chad, you got a switch? Some of you ladies didn't raise your hand. How many of you ladies ever got a switching before? Yeah, I got a good switch. They always plan on the outside. Well, that mama got him by the ear and she drug him out and she gave him a good switching. She said, "You're not going to stand up no more." Well, little Henry, when he come back in the sanctuary, he sat there like that. And somebody heard Henry in his little voice said, "I may be sitting, but I'm standing up on the inside." Amen. And many times we may be sitting, but we're still rebellious on the inside. And after a while, we're going to stand back up because, amen, you just can't give in to those feelings. I want to just use some illustrations here. Soap may clean a pig, but it doesn't change its nature. What we need is something to happen to our nature. I need to be born again, but I also need the transforming power of the Lord. If you got a weakness in your life, learn to put it before God and say, "God, I have a problem right here." If you know where your weak area is at in your soul and your everyday life, if weakness is there, you need to ask God specifically to help you there. Pay attention to your weakness. Don't ignore your weakness and don't feed your weaknesses. Somebody say amen. Amen. You know, there are some people that are intoxicated by life. Let me explain. An intoxicated person has no fear of consequences. Intoxicated. What's the definition of intoxication, somebody? Man, y'all quiet. It's not a trick question. How do you get intoxicated? Get drunk. Intoxication. A drunk person has no fear of consequences. I mean, they have poor judgment. And they're kindly detached from reality when they're intoxicated. And there's an old song that I heard years ago, a worldly song that says, "Give a man a pint, give a man a pint, and he'll feel like a giant." I'm telling you. And when a man is intoxicated, he don't care about consequences. He don't fear. He's a giant. He can take on whoever. Come on, bring it on. He has poor judgment. Not only that, but he lives detached from reality. And there are some people that sin likes to intoxicate. He likes to intoxicate you. Let's just put it this way. Who was it said this? Sister Kathy said, I believe. Sister Kathy was a wise lady. She had a lot of wise sayings. And this is what she would say. When you become a teenager, how did she put that, Sister Crossway?
When hormones kick in, brain cells die.
When hormones start kicking in, brain cells start dying. You mean a young person don't realize. They get intoxicated with the hormonal rush. And guess what happens? They have no fear of danger. They have no fear of consequences. They have poor judgment. But mama, he's so good looking. Yeah, but he's so perverted. Can't everybody else see it? But the person that has messed up and intoxicated by hormones can't. But mama, she's beautiful. But you are detached from reality. You're lured by her looks instead of her character. How many times somebody gets intoxicated? The scripture said sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. I want to tell you, sin has a way of finishing things off. My, amen. There's a battle within. Romans talks about it in Romans, the 7th chapter, 21 to 35, or 25. There's a war within the law of God in the mind and the law of sin. There is a clash, Brother Pirtle, between the law of sin and the law of God. There's that seesaw back and forth. One moment you feel, woo, I'm gonna live for God. The next minute, temptation is so great that you just don't care about God. And it feels, Romans said, like evil always wins. It's the same game, the same loss every time. Evil always seems to win. Let me just tell you, sometimes soap, scrubbing, scolding somebody, and willpower is not enough. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. I need the power to overcome. I need the power of God's grace to teach me to say no, to deny ungodliness. And to resist temptation, to resist being a victim again and again and again. What is needed is that power. Sometimes when godliness feels distance, God, where are you? Victory feels impossible. And the ability to resist feels absent. I want you to remember this. When you're at your greatest point of almost giving in, there's a scripture that 1 John 4:4 that says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Even at your greatest point, you need to realize there's a great God who still wants to help you whip that battle and win that battle. Amen. We need to be armored up, the Bible says in Ephesians, put on the whole armor of God. We're not called to be lucky. We're called to be armed. God wants you to be armored up every day of your life. When clothed in God, we could stand. When you got your armor on, you could withstand. You ever seen somebody say, I can't take it no more? It's because they're not armored up. They start caving in. Victory is possible, but it's a daily decision according to Ephesians. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand and withstand. Now, the real problem is this. Some people want a free pass. They want God to keep rescuing them. They want God to keep intervening like this little boy. And they don't want the power to say no. A spiritual get out of jail card is what many people want. They want mercy without transformation. They want a rescue without repentance. They run back into the road because God has snatched them out so many times. Let me just tell you the truth. Have you ever played a game and you got a game, let's say it was Uno or Skip Bo or what's the new game we're playing? Skyjo. You ever played a game and it seemed like you always got a losing hand? How many's ever had one of those? You ever had a losing hand? Man, you get start frustrated. You may win a few rounds. And you may hold a few wild cards at times, but all of a sudden you find yourself constantly, after a while you think, is this game fixed? Is this game fixed? I want to tell you, life, hear me, saint, hear me, young person, life always issues you a losing hand. Don't trust in your hand. We need to trust in the winning hand.
Right.
His hand. Coley, I want to just tell you, on your own, by yourself, you're a loser. Man, we're not supposed to tell somebody they're a loser. But by ourselves, we are. But with God, you're a victor. You need his winning hand. Romans, the 13th chapter, it tells us, cast off the darkness. Put on Christ and make no provisions for the flesh. This 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, awake to righteousness. Everybody say awake. Wake up. Awake and sin not. Reckon yourself dead to sin, alive to God, and yield yourself to righteousness. I want you to remember this warning. Do not chase the ball across boundaries. You know, there's some people just want that free pass. God, deliver me. God, get me out of this mess. God, scrub. Oh, yeah, right here, God. Get this mud off of me. Perfume me up. Let me smell good again. Let me look good again. More people are concerned about their looks. Their looks. How they appear to other people than how they appear to God. I want God to see me, and I want to understand that God sees when nobody else does. God sees more than my mirror can ever tell me about me. I want God to have the pass in my life to do what he needs to do to teach me to say no. We need a power that keeps me free. What is it tonight? Do you want a free pass with grace, or do you want the power that grace has to offer? If you had a choice, would you like to have a free pass that you could put in your billfold, man? Young lady, you could put in your billfold. Lady, mama, grandma, grandpa, whoever here tonight, you could have a free pass that God would give you and said, this is for you to use one time. That you could go out of the boundaries, and I will deliver you just that one time. I wonder how many people, if they knew they had a one-time pass, would use it. In spite if they knew that it displeases God. There's some people do it just because they have a pass. The Bible says, shall we sin that grace abounds? And then it answers the question. Anybody knows what it says? God forbid. Don't use that pass and think that you just got that free pass. No, no. If you have a choice, let it be. God, I want the power. I want the power that will keep me free from the shackles, from the consequences, from the dangers, and Lord, from the foolishness. How many has ever done something and you thought, oh, I was foolish? How many has ever had a foolish regret in your life? Come on, there's some foolish things that if I could go back to, and I mean, oh, and I want to tell you, regrets, you can't outrun some regrets. Some regrets attach to you like a tick. They stick like a tick, and they're there with you, and always remind you that. I heard a preacher say this one time, it's like a bad tattoo. It's always going to be there to show off on you. I'm telling you, that's what sin does, the consequences of sin. So if you had a choice between a free pass and the power of God, please let it be that you would say, God, I want your power. I want to stay within boundaries. I want to say no. I want to deny some things. You know what the good news is? God offers both, a free pass and power. But if you hold on to the power, amen, God will lead you to victory. Amen. Lord, work within me your work. Calvary was for this. What happens, Pastor, when you catch yourself keep on doing the same foolish things over and over again? This is what I want to tell you. First of all, you need to remember Jesus died for that foolish thing. And he paid the price for you. Get to Calvary. Get to Calvary. Young man, get to Calvary when you find yourself doing something foolish. get to Calvary and realize that Jesus died and rose again, not just to save you, but to help you to be an overcomer. Number one, this is what grace does. God, through grace, rescues us. That's called salvation. But God also instructs us. That's teaching grace. God also restrains us. That's called disciplining grace. Are you thankful for the restraints, the leash? Sister, you said leash. I'm thankful for the time that God put a leash on me, that when I got to the end of my leash, God gave me a good nudge back. Are you thankful for the restraint? Are you thankful for the time, amen, you thought you had liberty and you ran to the end of your leash and God pulled you back? Amen. I think we need to thank God right now for that moment that God had his hand on the leash of our life. He holds the reins, the scripture said. Amen. Oh God, I want you to have the reins to my life. I want you to have the steering capacity to my soul, that you possess the reins of my soul, oh, dear God. Hallelujah. And the next thing God has, that grace gives you, an empowered victory. When something has always been your giant and always been your conqueror. And Abigail, don't you love it when you finally take your giant out and you get to go. You get to do your dance on top of your giant. I'm thankful for victory today. That's what grace is all about. Giving you victory in spite of your defeating elements and giants in your life. Stand with me tonight. I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord. Amen. I'm thankful. Thankful tonight. I've been there and God's been there. I want the power. Amen. I want the pass. I want the glory of my Jesus. Lift hands with us right now, and I want you to thank the Lord. God, put it in me. Teach me, oh God, to deny ungodliness. Teach me to live righteously and soberly in this present hour, Lord Jesus, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of you, great God and Savior. Help me, Lord, to deny worldly lusts. Help me, oh God, to seek for the things that are above, to set my affections on greater things for your kingdom's sake. I love you and I want your help, Lord, in my life. Teach me, Lord, to pay attention. Teach me, oh God, to recognize boundaries and teach me to see dangers as they are and consequences as they are. And teach me, Lord God, to stay where you want me to be and be who you want me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Let's go to heaven, how? Yes. God bless you. I hope this helped you as God helped me this morning. Amen. I pray that somebody tonight, amen, this would help you make it to heaven. God bless.